our Aboriginal heritage in Western Australia is under threat. And it's under threat from the mining industry in particular, right across the state, from the Kimberley right down into the southwest. We've got development projects that are threatening significant heritage places, whether it's at James Price Point, which many of you have heard of, the Burrup Peninsula. Out in the Goldfields region where I come from, we've got a couple of big projects that are threatening heritage sites. And this entire exercise in at Harrison Island or Mudugurrup is showing, you know, wanton disregard for heritage laws, but also the ability of Aboriginal people to have freedom of religion. So by living at Harrison Island, by practicing their spiritual and cultural duties, it is a, you know, it is an offence against their basic human rights to have freedom of religion. And that's something that's lost in a lot of the translations, is that because people put Aboriginal heritage under land access or legal matters and all of that. But at the end of the day, this is our system of beliefs. This is what we believe in, our connection spiritually to our land, our connection spiritually to each other. And that is being denied us, which is a very profound sort of statement when you think about it. So the exercise in pursuing Tent Embassy and pursuing the question of sovereignty, I think the Noongar Nation are leading the way in Western Australia because, you know, first of all, they're the ones most heavily impacted by the process of colonisation.
So is that, just ask, is it, what's the area of that nation like?
At the Noongar Nation are basically south of Geraldton, right around to Esperance, if you drew an arc. The entire southwest of Western Australia.
The most populated area.
So it's like Dongara, Dongara to Esperance and down.
Yeah, so everywhere in there, you know, that's the Noongar Nation, made up of about, what, 14 different...
The government says there's only seven, but really there's 14 nations.
And so what these guys are doing with the embassy is they're creating a focal point, taking the attention away from following that legalistic process, which is all about signing paperwork that acts to take away your rights. And by setting up the Tent Embassy, by engaging in this education campaign, they're actually raising the awareness among all the Noongar people to understand what their sovereign rights are, and to then use things like the Declaration of Rights of Indigenous Peoples as the bottom line, the basic starting point for any engagement between the state and the sovereign nations that comprise the Noongar Nation. Now, that's something that me, I'm a Wongo man, or Wongada, from the Goldfields region. We don't have the same level or degree of daily impact on our country that the Noongar people have, because this is one of the facts that Melbourne audience might be surprised by, but 90% of this West Australian population live between Kalamunda and Cottesloe. The Noongar people basically have 90% of the state of Western Australia living on their land. So the flip side of that is, in my country, we basically have the city of Perth, or the population of Perth, flying out on a daily basis into my country, ripping the resources out of the ground, taking all, stripping all the wealth from the Goldfields, the Pilbara, the Kimberley, Murchison, Gascoyne. They're basically stripping all the wealth, bringing it back to Perth. And I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of that is underwritten by investors here in Melbourne. So we do have a connection.
You're listening to Cato Muir from Western Australia, talking about the fight for sovereignty and to protect country from uranium mining in Western Australia.
Well, I think the issue of mining in Western Australia is one that it's constantly it's like a huge beast, a huge machine. People talk about iron ore mining, but what they don't realise is that iron ore mining is actually removing entire mountain ranges.
Wow.
So all those trains that you see chugging along the tracks, they're actually carrying away landscapes.
And dreamings.
Dreamings tracks. Basically our past. They're taking away our past. They're stealing away our future.
Yeah.
If you ever have had the opportunity to go to the Pilbara or ever had the opportunity to visit a mountain range made up of banded ironstone formations, these are the most spectacular, most attractive features you'd ever find in a landscape. And it's that stuff that's being destroyed, taken away. The town of Mount Newman is built on... there was a hill there once called Mount Whaleback that was about, I don't know, close to 1,000 metres high.
Mm.
That Mount Whaleback is now a hole that is close to 500 metres deep.
Wow.
So they've removed, you know, 1,500 metres worth of rock.
Yeah.
Is it hard in WA to get support for the anti-nuclear movement, considering so much of WA thinks it depends on mining and is so pro-mining, is it?
It is very hard. It's very hard indeed. Because basically everyone in WA are complicit in the industry, and they're basically, they either don't want to know or they're afraid to know. There are people we know who support what we do, but they're afraid that if they talked up, they'll lose their jobs, their family will lose their jobs. So, you know, it is a hostile environment for anyone to be reasonable and sensible and say, hey, this greed is too much. We should actually pause, stop, think, look at other ways that we can create a vibrant future for our children in this environment.
Do you think it makes the people who are against mining that more dedicated because it's such a
it does, because we know that what we're up against is massive. It's the entire resources of the state, and it is a wealthy state. And so we know that end of the day, it's a pushing the proverbial uphill, but we'll do it and we'll try and push it over to the other side.
Yeah,
it makes us all much more dedicated.
Mm-hmm.
We're linking both these things together. Our identity is Aboriginal sovereign nations, and we need to pursue that because programs like Native Title, the quasi-native land rights legislation that we have, if you engage in Native Title processes, which is happening in some parts of Western Australia, the only outcome that the Native Title Act guarantees is the right of the developer to proceed with her project.
Mm.
That's the only outcome. Aboriginal people don't have an opportunity to veto any development on their lands. And so where we come from is to say, well, these are basic human rights. Companies need a social licence to operate. And it's power to the people.
Mm.
And that's really the only things that are going to work.